We will now take verbal roll call. President Delmore.
Here.
Vice President Simon.
Here.
Secretary Abrahamian. Absent. Alder Latimer Burris. Absent. Alder Vidiver.
Here.
Board Member Strozier.
Here.
Board Member Callisto.
Here.
Board Member Witinski.
Here.
Chair, the floor is now yours.
Okay. Thank you. Prior to minutes, this is our first meeting back in person in about 4 or 5 months. As you can see, the room has been renewed, rehab, Krishna, would you like to tell them what happened and what purpose this room will serve in addition to our meetings?
Certainly, thank you. So this is a joint project between the city's IT, Information Technology Department, and Water Utility, because the city is planning to use our conference room A and B, technically speaking, as the city's one of the emergency operations centers. So with that in view, we have upgraded the audio visual component. And as you can see, we have tremendous advantage in that sense. So it took a couple of months to get it all lined up. So here we are. So hopefully the EOC doesn't clash with our board meetings. But other than that, it's available for city use, primarily for the EOC gatherings and for our board.
Okay. We have some new board members that are physically joining us. And so, Kurt, if you'd like to introduce yourself and tell us a bit about your background.
Sure. Hello, everyone. I'm Kurt Witinski. I'm recently retired from the League of Wisconsin Municipality. It's an advocacy group of all the cities and villages of the state. And I'm consulting a little bit since I retired, mainly for the League and a few other local governments on local government policy. And I have an interest in local government, obviously, and I'm happy to be on this board. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Ronisha?
Hi, my name is Ronisha Strozier, and I'm the representative for Public Health Madison and Dane County.
Alder?
Hi, Regina Vidiver. I'm the Alder for District 5, near West Side. I've been on Common Council for almost 2 terms now, up for re-election in the spring. Joining the water utility, pleased to do so. My day job is with the State Division of Public Health. So Pranish and I are sort of birds of a feather and very interested in being able to bring that experience to this space.
Deb?
I'm Deb Simon. I worked for the City of Madison for 28 years. I retired 10 years ago. I was the budget and audit manager, so I worked in the finance department. I was asked to be on the board. This is my second term, so I'm in 6 years now.
Okay. Eric is online, but Eric, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, thanks. I'm Eric Callisto. I am an energy and utility lawyer. Also, at one point, was on the Public Service Commission of Wisconsin, which regulates utilities, including Madison Water Utility. Thanks.
Okay. And I'm Pat Delmore. I now teach part-time at Edgewood College. I was in the Madison School District as a principal and teacher for 33 years. I think this is my 18th year at Edgewood, 14 full-time and now very part-time. So thank you. And for the next meeting, for the members that aren't here, we'll ask them also to introduce themselves as well. I think the next item is approval of the minutes from our last meeting, which was in November. Do we have a motion to approve? Okay, and do we have a second?
I'll second.
Okay, without objection, we will approve minutes. Okay, Jody, do we have any person signed up for public comment?
We do not.
Okay. Thank you. Among board members, do we have anyone that needs to declare recusal or any disclosures? Seeing none, we are ready for the first item on our agenda, and that's to amend the 2025 Water Utility Board meeting schedule. Krishna,
So the board approved a calendar for 2025 on November the 25th. Incoming board member Alder Videver pointed out a discrepancy, which I own. That is for October, where is it? So the 23rd September meeting, instead of the 23rd, we will have it on September 24th. So yes, that is a proposal before, which is, what's the right way?
So we go the next week, the following Tuesday.
Okay, so the whole week we could, that's up to you guys.
It's, so it's Rosh Hashanah.
Okay.
And so for some of us, we celebrate for 2 days. So,
right. So what is the date? The Tuesday next week.
So if we moved it to the following week,
yes,
it's a 5 Tuesday month.
Yes.
So it would not conflict with the council meeting.
Oh, good. And let's go look.
It would be
you have that,
the 30th. September
30th.
Yeah.
Yeah,
the 30th would be the first stop.
Sorry.
Well, it was the 23rd. Yeah. So the
24th, but
yeah,
it would be
the
30th. And you have no city meeting conflict on the 30th, right?
As far as I know.
That is the proposal, Mr. President.
Okay.
Move the September meeting to the 30th of September.
Okay. And what day of the week is that?
That's a Tuesday.
Tuesday, the 30th. Okay. So the proposal is to move the September meeting date to the 30th. And do we have a motion to approve or to a motion to have that date accepted?
Also move.
Okay. Do we have a
second?
Okay. And all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, thank you. And item six, Krishna, five and six appear to go together.
Okay.
So item six becomes. Okay. All right.
Oh. I'll now table President Elmore.
Here.
Vice President Simon.
Here.
Here.
Alder Vidiver.
Here.
Board Member Stroger.
Here.
Board Member Callisto.
Here.
Board Member Witzinski.
Here.
Thank you.
Okay. We then in the next item would have the new calendar, which reflects the change to the 30th. And since we approved it, let's have a motion to approve the calendar in total with that change.
I think that the next calendar.
Oh, it is. Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Items that are in each.
Okay.
So we're okay. We're still. Okay,
good. All right. The next item is the agenda. Right. Now I. and this agenda is one in which there is some sort of standing reports that occur in various months of the year. And so we have that schedule of presentations in this item. Any discussion on it?
Can I add a sentence to it? If I
yes.
May. So these are the customary items. There will be a change, you know, as in when a new development or a particular approval needs to be that we'll add. So this is just a standing kind of an outline of our item. It's a practice that I inherited, so I'm continuing the same practice. It's a good idea to get a sense of what are potential items for upcoming year.
Yep.
We started sometime last year putting on here the public information report every month.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Oh, we could.
Do we want
that.
To add that
yes.
to this?
Good.
Okay.
It's a Deb like edit.
Right. Good.
If we're gonna, well,
yes,
I assume
yes.
we're gonna continue that,
yes.
right, Marcus?
Yes, yes.
So yeah, plan. So we could add that to that list of all our
all right. So a change proposed is to add the public information report to the meetings as listed. Do we have a motion to approve it with the addition?
I'll move.
Okay.
Second.
Second. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Say aye.
Aye.
Okay, so we have that item. Thank you. Then the next item is the annual board member statement of interest filing. And I think this is a reminder.
And also the funny part is the deadline is past due, but we are required to bring it back twice to the boards and committees. And since we don't meet in December, we're able to do it once. So it's more of a functional thing. And all of you have complied with it, I know for a fact, because I saw the list of non-compliant.
Okay.
So now no action needed.
All right, thank you. Okay, next item is authorizing a non-competitive selection contract with Waterwell Solutions of Wisconsin to repair and replace water supply equipment on well 26.
I think it is Grandy. No,
okay.
That both of you would flash, claim the spot.
Yes. Okay.
Yes. Is your title for the benefit of?
Yes. Great. Good evening. I'm Pete Holmgren, Chief Engineer at the Water Utility here. So. This has been a decision in collaboration with our facilities maintenance team, our water resources manager, and the contractor listed here, Waterwell Solutions. Just so a little background here. Back in August, late August of last year, our unit well 26, which is on High Point Road on the west side, one of three kind of west region wells had a mechanical failure. We, as is typical, brought in a well contractor to basically pull the well, evaluate the equipment, do some basically diagnostics, see what happened with it, and hopefully be able to repair or replace the damaged equipment and come up with some decisions that we can make. So they did that. They went ahead and presented some remediation options. I think there were two solutions brought forward. One was pretty involved, somewhat speculative, and pretty high cost. And we went ahead with the lower cost option here, which is a little simpler, and we think what best serves the well for the rehab going forward. There's a couple of reasons we're looking to a non-competitive selection contract here. In terms of efficiency, it's efficiency of kind of maintenance continuity, continuing with Waterwell Solutions, which also leads to efficiency of cost versus bringing in a different company to pick up where they left off, reinstall the well equipment. And third, what is recommended and what we've had success with at other well facilities is this Lamina Flow device, which controls the flow in such a way that it reduces sand into the equipment, which we're very hopeful will reduce further breakdowns for a critical well facility. So those are the reasons we're kind of bringing forward right now for this this non-competitive contract to proceed.
Questions for Pete?
I have a question.
Okay.
I do appreciate you're going into all the details always and educating us. So of course, you know, I'm going to ask, what's the Lamina feel or whatever you're calling it? What does that look like for the average person, or what does that do? And then my second question is, you know, just outlining what were the differences, where the one that was a little more expensive versus, you know, just your reasoning versus the one that we were going with. So the Lamina feel first, as we learn about things water.
So the Lamina Flow, it's an insert that goes into the well hole and connects with the well pump equipment to basically control the flow and control the accumulation of sand as it comes up as the well is pumping water to protect it from getting into the equipment, getting into the reservoir as it can do. So again, we've had success at other well sites using that proprietary equipment, and we're hopeful to do it here. I don't recall all the specifics of the much more expensive option that was also given to us. Some things I do recall was it was, I think, a much more intense pump and motor, which also involved, I think, some large electrical upgrades to handle the load at the facility. And ultimately, we felt it was a little too speculative, and have to look back on the specific cost, but it was to the point where, you know, I hate to say it, but even if this option failed, we could probably try another iteration of it before really, you know, wishing we'd gone with some of the other things proposed. So that's why we're recommending the lower cost and the options that we're familiar with.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Other questions? Pete, about what is the age of the well?
The well was installed in the early 80s. Okay. So it's been running for about 40 some years now. We've replaced both the booster pumps there in recent years. And, the well hole itself is doing well. It's been maintained several times, but, recently I think there's been more sand, which, you know, the hydrogeologic conditions can change, and sometimes you're suddenly pulling more sand in. We bailed the well of sand in recent years, and now we think it's appropriate to put in a sand control device too.
Okay, good. And I'm glad that you identified the location of the well. And I think new board members, in your folder, there probably is a map of the various wells in the city, so you get a sense of where they're located. And I think we have 31 wells.
31 is our most recent numbered well. We've got 22 active wells.
Okay.
The numbering is you'll notice there's not a well one, a well two, a well three. Yeah, and then we kind of just keep going on.
Okay.
And this is well 26. Is that right? Yeah.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
West side.
Thank you.
Without further discussion, I guess we're ready for a motion. Motion to approve. Okay.
Second.
Second. All in favor, say aye.
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 Thank you. Thank you. We are now ready for our monthly water production report. Joe, would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure, Joe Grandy, Water Resources Manager. What I do is the monthly water production report, and I'm also responsible for the semi-annual water quality report. And that comes out in April and October, according to the schedule you guys just adopted. So I'll jump right into the water production report for December. I will be talking about attachment A. Again, shows water production, and this is kind of at a high level where we report on the water production by these hydrologic zones. And I know President Delmore just pointed you to the map, but these hydrologic regions that we speak to or report on, regions A and B are on the east side, separated by the Yahara River, and regions C and D are on the west side. And you will note that region B is a little bit smaller; it only has two wells, whereas region A encompasses a large part of the east side. And then also on the west side, region C encompasses a fairly large portion of the west side, whereas region D is the far, far west side. It's a little bit smaller and has a fewer wells in it. Speaking to production, the left side of this table, the daily production, this is specifically for December. And that third column there shows the maximum daily capacity of the wells within each of those four regions. The next column shows that reliable daily capacity. So that's really functionally what we're capable of producing. And you'll note that that reliable daily capacity is about 40 million gallons a day. Looking at our daily production in December, it was on average 22 million gallons. So we are have a 16.9 million gallon surplus on a daily basis. So certainly have sufficient supply, especially in December. December is a very low water demand period. If we then look to the right hand side of this table, we can see what the annual production. So this would be year to date. So year to date, the end of December, that's the annual amount. You'll note that there's 2022, 2023, and 2024, and it was 9.1 billion gallons in 2022, 9.2 billion gallons in 2023, and we produced just 8.9 billion gallons in 2024. A bit of a reduction that translates to 1 million gallons per day less on an annual basis. That's pretty significant. It seems small, but it is pretty significant for what we do, almost the equivalent of an entire well that we can just rest, and that's on a daily basis. You'll probably note that last year we had a very, very wet late spring and early summer, and that accounted for a significant reduction in our water produced on an annual basis, although we did have a fairly dry September and October. But by that point, people's use of water has already peaked and is going down. Krishna, you wanted to say
before
something?
Before we move to your second report, especially for those of you who are new on the board, so the four regions that you see there, layman's definition of those regions are they are standalone units, meaning the water cannot move from A to B to C and D. So they are kind of because of the nature of our topography. So after I came on board and with the help of staff, we have introduced a slew of what we call internally resiliency projects, whereby we are trying to move water from one region to the other. Several of those projects have been successful, and now there is this inter-movement among the regions, which means the surplus that you see, especially region C, has the largest surplus. If only we are able to move some of the water to B and D, where it is a little short, that is the ultimate way to get resilient. That also doesn't preclude us from chasing new sources. As we grow, we need new sources too. So it's a combination of potential new sources plus increasing the resiliency among these four regions. So that has been going very, very well. Thank you. We can go to your second report.
And well, I just want just one comment in terms of our cumulative annual production that peaked in the late 90s, early 2000s, over 12 billion gallons of water. So we are consistently producing about 25% less on an annual basis, pretty significantly due to conservation and some other factors.
And not to take away anything from Joe, in the United States experienced that every single water utility, when you compare the same year.
Give us some credit.
I know. But plus or minus some, but that is a huge thing for the United States.
Absolutely.
All of us have dropped by 25%.
But so regardless, with we're getting pretty significant new development, particularly on the west side, on the far west side, there's sufficient capacity is what you're saying for those new developments.
There is sufficient capacity. What you do note though is that is region D that you're speaking of, and that is where we have the tightest supply. And I think that's exactly what Krishna was talking about in terms of resiliency. How do we get water from region C into region D? And there's a pretty good topographic difference between the two. And so the question becomes, do you use existing supply and pump uphill? Or do you find new supply and then rely on gravity to supply that area? So those are some internal discussions that we're having. That's a very good question, good observation.
I have a question too about when you mentioned new sources, is that what you're talking about, what you just said?
Potentially new sources. In our capital improvement program, I think we have one well for the west side as a potential project sometime within the next 10 years.
Okay.
And again, it depends on how many resiliency projects that we're able to do and what the economics are, and also the technical engineering that goes into that in terms of pump stations. And then again, what the cost of those pump stations to bring the water uphill, as opposed to having a site that's already up on the hill.
Okay, so thank you.
Yeah. So I'll turn to attachment B, and this drills down a little bit to the individual units, each of the wells. And I won't go into too much of the detail other than to say, if we look at region A and all the wells, you know, our utilization is about 40%. Region B, it's about 30%. Region C, again, it's right around 40%. Region D, it's about 40% as well. So you can look at the specifics of each well. This gives us operationally additional information, but it speaks to how productive each of these units are. But overall, we're using, last year was 39% of our 8.94, 39% of that available capacity, which translated into just under 9 billion gallons of water overall. Keeping in mind, if we're utilizing 39%, there is 60% that we're not utilizing. So there is an abundance of supply that's available to us.
And the DNR requires us to do no more than 50% on each well as a very helpful guidance. Just
yeah.
That.
Oh, I was just going to ask you to talk about the 50%.
Yeah.
Because we always highlight the ones that are.
Yeah, exactly what Christian said. And so we have two wells that on an annual basis were slightly over 50%. And if we had more wells within that region that were at or above that 50%, that would say that we basically are constrained in terms of supply and should be considering new sources of supply.
Or this is where the resiliency projects come into play.
Yeah.
And for example,
yeah,
all your new growth on the west side cannot be met through just resiliency projects. You might need a well, but these kind of marginal overages on certain wells could be easily fixed with resiliency projects. And also, do not get overly excited if you see a few wells being over 50%. That is just the way of life. You know, sometimes there are two or three wells down for some reason. Then those months, it would momentarily go up, which is why we put a region total and the system-wide total, so that, you know, we have the comfort. Once in a while, you would see, in fact, I would pass it. Every month, you will have one or two red. It's just not avoidable completely, and you don't need to, given our general supply situation.
Yeah, and I would just say in Region C, to Christian's point, we did have three wells that were underutilized, but they were underutilized because we took them out of service for maintenance. Well 14 in particular, well 20 and well 24. So you see that their utilization was 18, 32, and 40%. Those are wells that we would expect typically would be much higher than that. But as a result of that, that's why well 18 was about 50%. So a little bit of give and take. And as Krishna said, we should expect or could expect some to be above 50%. This also gives me a guide where I've, you know, if there's specific wells that I think that we should be using more because they've got better water quality or it's low cost of production. This helps us to make those kind of operational decisions.
Is well 19 still at reduced capacity?
Because well 19 is currently turned off.
Okay.
As we're going through
right.
the construction process.
Right. Okay.
So it's listed on here. And again, that was at 34%. That's largely because didn't pump in October, November, or December. It's also going to be off for at least another 5 or 6 months. But then when that's back in service, because we've invested tremendously in it, we want to be pretty close to 50%.
Yeah. And this is also impacts well 15, right? With the peat
products.
It has trained. It takes us
all
the
exactly.
And again, just if you look at the table, well 15 is not on here.
Yeah.
And
right.
we took it off the table because we haven't used it for 6 years,
yeah.
right? So later this year, you will see 15 reappear. Absolutely. And we, again, will want to maximize that use because we're going to have a tremendous treatment system that's going to produce outstanding water.
Thank you. Any other questions for Joel? Thank you.
Thank you.
And our next report is by January. It's financial conditions report. And What we've been doing with the reports is hearing the reports and then having a motion to approve all of the all four reports at the end. So, January, I'd like to introduce yourself.
January Vang, I'm the Finance and Admin Manager for Water. So I'm here to present, as of right now, the November 30th, 2024 year to date. We are still working feverishly on trying to finalize and close up our December. And so I would hope that next month I would be able to give you guys a better update on our ending final, like 2024. But right now I have November's information up here. And then what we usually start out with is just a quick blurb summarizing whether water revenue is up or down and like pumpage. So for November, we were just barely $11,000 over compared to budget. Pumpage was down about 3.4%. Our total operating fund balance is about $17.7 million as of November 30th. Capital fund expenditure is about $23.2 million, of which $10.3 million is encumbered funds. And so our capital fund balance is 3.4 million. I also provide a little MADCAP data summary update as of January 14th. So with our last ditch effort to kind of get enrollment, as of right now, we have 471 approved applications for the MADCAP program. And so you can see here how many we've received as of January, 728. And the breakdown between homeowners and renters and the numbers of applications not approved, along with the households enrolled in the conservation program. So I provide that on a monthly update.
Is there a summary somewhere of what the kind of the main factors for why they're not approved?
We didn't, we can.
So we had a session here on that. So stay tuned. Let me give you a little backdrop for both of you. So we have to go through the Wisconsin Public Service Commission for our rate package. So we have submitted our, what is called 2025 rate case that was submitted last month, December. And we just received 14 pages of questions. Data request is a fancy word for it, of about 54 questions. So we are feverishly working through those questions and we'll respond. It's almost a year-long process. So the verdict would be towards the end of the year. So as part of the rate package or rate case update, we will walk you through all those things. And it's a pretty involved discussion and it's brand new for Wisconsin. You know, they have not seen it, we have not seen it. So it's a joint learning exercise. Great question, stay tuned.
So then here you'll see all these numbers. We usually provide like the actuals for the last 2 years. So we'll have 22, 23 actuals. Then we have our fiscal year 24 budget, then the year to date and what the projected 2024 ending balances will be. As of November 30th, our total revenue was 47 million, 47.4 million. Our total expenditures were about 40 million. Leaving us with a net operating fund of about 7.7 million. With our ending fund balance added to it, we are looking at an ending fund balance for the operating fund of about 17.7 million. Projected wise for the operating fund, it is going to be a little bit different. I'm anticipating that with numbers finally settling, we're probably looking at a total of an ending fund balance of 9.6 million. And that is with total revenue at about 52.6 million and total expenditures of 44 million. With that, I usually go down then to the construction fund. Same setup, revenue wise, we're looking at a total of 22.1 million for November 30th. Our total capital expenditures and encumbrances is about 23.2 million with a net construction fund of negative 1 million. But with our fund balance from prior year, we're looking at about 3.4 million for as of November 30th. Projected wise, we're looking at about 27 million for capital revenues and about 27.8 million in actual capital expenditures. leaving us with an ending fund balance of $3.4 million. And on the next page, we do have our cash reserve, again, prior years, actuals. But as of November 30th, our total cash and investment is at $68 million, of which $18.9 million is unrestricted cash, which then leaves us about 1.42 months of expenditures that can be covered by our operating reserves. We also then have a graph of our total debt outstanding in millions. So as of 2024, as of the date I updated this, we are looking at about $184.5 million in debt outstanding.
What is our goal for monthly expenditures reserve?
Well, on average, I would say our annual operating expenditures is about $20 million. So if you kind of think about having like a 3 to 6 month reserve, you know, having $10 million is like covering just 6 months worth. And then anything less than that would be, you know, less.
I can add a line to that. So in our line of business, weather is a very important factor. So you could project a particular revenue depending on how the weather god wants to treat. There could be a swing of $2 to $3 million or $3 to $4 million. And also in water industry, 3 to 6 months is the standard. A minimum of 3 months, 6 months would be wonderful. Just in case of an emergency, we have what, 900 miles of pipelines buried underground. We do a great job of kind of tracking the health and all that. We don't have reservoirs. You know, there are water utilities with reservoirs and they need a larger fund balance to kind of have an emergency funding. We have less of a need, but 3 to 6 months.
Other questions for January?
We have any thought on what that number might be at the end of the year? Because my thinking, the number of months covered by operating, isn't our goal sort of 5 or 7 or 3?
So now let me introduce another element to respond to that question. So water utility is the best part of the water utility. It's an enterprise fund, right? The funds don't go anywhere. I like all my senior staff. I love to give them a Christmas bonus, but that is illegal. So every dollar surplus that you find in the operating fund is entirely used for capital projects. So you would see the portion where there's a transfer from the operating fund to capital fund. In 2024, what's the planned transfer, January?
We're looking at about 8.5.
So that 8.5 million transfer from operating fund is entirely out of surplus. So what in practice, we can chase this 3 or 6 months. What do we do ultimately with those funds? So for example, Pete would knock on my door and say, I need 3 more wells and I need $15 million or whatever is the request. We have only 2 sources of funding. Either you go borrow or you use your own internal funds. So any surplus would always get transferred to capital. So that we just don't know. I mean, prediction can only go so far. So, you know, as a matter of practice, January and I believe she thinks 10, I think 7 is a comfortable number. Anything above that will definitely be funded to fund a capital project. And every year we have 15 million plus or minus capital improvement needs. And also, can you go back to that debt graph, please? Yes. So at the height of our debt, we had about $283 million. And the principal and interest payment on that amount was bigger than our operating expenses. That is a no-no to a water utility. That's what that was at the cusp of it. We have dropped $100 million of that debt, which means we didn't borrow new. Mm-hmm. Plus, we have funded every year's capital improvement project. That's because of the operational, the revenue surplus from the operational funds. Either way, the customers get the benefit. But if you use your operating funds, you don't pay interest on those payments. So it's a combination of borrowing and using internal funds. So if you have sufficient kind of a margin on the operating fund that's both a protective measure plus a source of capital funding. So that is the place where you want to be. I didn't quite answer your questions, no, but you can expand.
I was just trying to look back and I'll ask you.
Sure.
Now, I remember you added the projected column at some
right.
point, which is great.
Right.
When you look at the adopted 24 budget, you know, the pending fund balance is going to be almost 17 million. And
right.
I don't remember when, by looking at that, when you decided to do the 8, well, we decided, when you proposed moving the 8.5 million to capital, like it
right.
seems like it's fairly early in the year.
So, for those of you who are new, she's our financial hawk.
Right.
All of them, you get all the way. And every single dev question gives me a little chance to kind of give the backdrop so that you get it. So, let me also introduce another variable to the budget and the actual for water. It's a little different from a general fund perspective. General fund departments, 18 out of 2023 departments, you know, they don't produce their own revenues. There's a huge difference. So when you are allocated an expenditures, you focus on the expenditure. There is no revenue side to a general fund department. We don't get any dime from the general fund. So it is our own revenues, our own expenditures. As good of a job January does in projecting those budgeted numbers, they get completely outdated, pardon me, in about 2 weeks from the time the budget rolls out, because the weather changes, the revenue mix changes. So each year we kind of look at it, and that 8.5 was decided when the operating surplus was rising.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one more background element to it. Well, 19, we did apply for a state loan, DNR. They denied it because we were fixing the iron and manganese issue, which is a secondary component, not
a
primary.
Also fixing the radon.
Yes, Joe Grandy made a good push on it, but we failed. Occasionally we fail. That's humility, you know. But either way, you can't appeal it. So they have their own factors and complex discussions. They said no. It was a heart-wrenching internal discussion. Should we drop the project or we internally fund it? So January stayed at me. I stayed at January for about 30 minutes and we said, yes, let's go do it. So that's when that decision was taken. And we, and that bet proved right. We still have operational surplus. So that is why and when we decided.
But the numbers are going in the right direction.
Right.
The one thing
right.
that you taught us to
right.
look for,
right.
you know, even against your favor, is
right.
watch those numbers.
Right.
Yes.
It's just balancing these two or three factors. It's an ongoing business. There is no predictability, no presuppositions in this business. So these reports, well, in all modesty, I'll claim I introduced because this is the only way for me to survive. And every month's report is different. Budget numbers are kind of foregone conclusions. You got to look at the actual, both expenses and revenue, and see where you are. And then you make those operational calls.
Other questions? And again, to commend Krishna and management team for really the amazing job of reducing that debt, as was pointed out by the alder, which is really an amazing feat, and seeking other funds as cited for some of the projects that we're doing. So without any other questions, we'll move on to the capital project report. Pete.
Well, I guess that picking up where January left off, and I copy a lot of her homework to get numbers and kind of put that into context of, as Krishna said, as we invest in capital projects. So what I'll go through today, our expenditures, the numbers are through November of last year. Currently, we'll bring it into 2025 in short order here, but looking to close out last year. And then we'll talk about expense depreciation for water main replacement, which is something that our rates help fund, and our plan to keep you all apprised of that progress throughout 2025, looking ahead. I hope I don't always have three major well projects going at the same time, but that is what we're looking at right now. One is in planning, two are well underway, and of course we've got our water board alders, and each one is in one of their districts too. So no pressure there. But I'll give you some updates on those major projects as well, and eventually some updates on some of the, they're all important projects, but the non-major projects once some of these start to fall off later in the year, and I'm not juggling three major well projects. So looking at actual expenditures and encumbrances through November, as you saw, the totals there, $23.2 million approximately. And then just looking at some actual expenditures, which tend to taper down towards the end of the year as a lot of contracts wind up. But facilities, no surprise there. Major projects, wells 15 and 19. The well 26, some of the rehab work we did ahead of time is on there. The room we're sitting in, we've finished up the paying off those contracts as well. I just list a few of kind of the major components of that total, that 65,000. So it's not the complete list, but those are the kind of the biggest contributors to the amounts for a given month. Fleet, you know, can include obviously our vehicle fleet. Things like meter equipment is included in that. So there's a variety of maintenance, probably a new vehicle in there as well, that kind of roll into that number. I didn't list anything there because it's relatively small. And then the kind of conclusion of a few pipeline contracts, our cast in place pipe program for the year, contract closed out, West Washington Avenue, downtown reconstruction project, some expenses to wrap up there, et cetera. Looking at the water main expense depreciation, which we use towards pipeline replacement throughout our system, for this year, again, as authorized by the PSC, that's $5 million that we'll be investing into that program. And then for tracking throughout the year, starting in February, when we start to get some numbers in, we'll present that number in terms of actual expenditures. So what we've actually spent, paid out, put towards that. We've gone back and forth between encumbrances, projected actuals. Actual is I think the most firm metric to present to the board. So that is what you can expect beginning in February, beginning with January's numbers. So that's all I have to say. Other than in 2024, we projected to have met that amount, which is a similar $5 million target. So looking at some major projects, starting with well 19. Currently under construction, they've completed the concrete work related to the backwash treatment tank for the iron and manganese. They've begun work on the existing building, including new openings. They've removed the old pump equipment, which will be completely replaced. They've done some of the floor and wall work for the treatment tank building addition. Treatment tanks, as of this week, are on site and waiting to be set into the building. So that is exciting. That should be happening in February. We're continuing to work with our consultant, SEH, which is an engineering firm with a lot of expertise that we don't have in-house, to continue to monitor progress and work with the contractor. So we're looking at a June, July range contract completion with an emphasis on not necessarily the final contract completion, but what we call beneficial occupancy, which is when we can pretty much operate the well facility and benefit from the treatment. So, you know, they may have some cleanup things to do, but we are functional at that point. So hopefully that can happen in June, final completion sometime in July, as currently scheduled. We'll continue to have construction updates as they keep doing the work though. Well, 15, actually in a similar spot, we got some updates with the filter tanks and the assembly. Those are expected to be delivered to the site next week now is the latest update. And then those will be lifted into kind of the shell of the current building. They will remove the temporary roof, set the tanks, and then begin to put on a permanent roof. And we're hoping to document that, that event, you know, a big crane lift, big truck delivery, some large ion exchange and activated carbon tanks, you know, four total that will quickly consume the space in that well site. That's the critical item. Really, a lot of other things are on pause with that project right now. Once those get in, they're going to really continue to put together the rest of the piping and proceed with a lot of the work there.
Yeah. Can I ask why there's such a budget difference between these two? I would have thought that 15 would have been more expensive than 19.
I think a lot of what went into 15 is use of the existing building itself. So
you didn't need a new building for the filters.
There's very little. In fact, there's such little structural work at 15 that we didn't even need a UDC or Urban Design Commission permit. It will from the exterior look the same. So I think that had a lot to do with it, kind of leveraging what was already out there. Contrasted with 19, which also has treatment tanks, but an additional backwash system and a building addition for the tanks themselves. So it's gets expensive. that's probably the biggest difference that you're seeing there. They're on similar tracks, both with the tank installations and project completion. We're looking at early summer, hopefully, to again have the beneficial occupancy in place for these facilities. So more updates as the months roll along, and excited to get the tanks into both facilities next month.
May I just ask, so you said the beneficial is going to come in, I think I just heard you say the summer, right?
We're expecting June currently, okay. As outlined by the contractor. That can absolutely change, but that's their latest schedule for us.
And then for completion, I thought you said by the end of the year?
Final completion is usually a month or two after, and a lot of that is administrative contract closeout. Some of it's like cleaning up the site, restoration, things like that, that don't materially affect how we operate the water system, but still need to get done.
Thank you.
Lastly, our Well 12 reconstruction project, which again had original designs back in 2016. We are now kind of dusting off those plans now that we are in a better financial position. We're ready to proceed with that project. We're working with our consultant to review the plans, update them as modern codes and other designs deem appropriate. Another item we are examining a little more closely now is the potential for added site storage, water storage out there in the form of a larger reservoir. We evaluated, I said upcoming at the time that this agenda was made, but actually that was just the other day. We had a site visit with them to kind of evaluate feasibility of placing a larger reservoir on that site. They're going to continue to work with the water hydraulic model to see what added benefits could come from that, and if it is an endeavor worth pursuing, and if so, now would be the time as we're going to rebuild that facility. Unlike the other two that I've listed there, it is not a treatment project. I think our water resources manager will tell you this is some of the best quality water we've got in the city. So is not a treatment focused project. It is a reconstruction, an update of the building, get the facility up to code, and in terms of resilience, it is now a two region facility. So we want to add an additional pump there, and get more out of it. Long term, we're looking at a 2027 completion. So. This year is dedicated to planning and analysis. Next year will be construction, likely to be completed in 2027. So just getting going with that one for the second time. Happy to take other questions and discussion.
Pete, the location of Well 12 is?
It's at the intersection of South Whitney Way and 1218 near the Beltline, kind of across from them. Across the street from the west side, YMCA.
So there's room there for a reservoir? Not a big tank, or what is
it? So it's it would be, well, one option would be 90 feet in diameter and about 30 feet cylinder,
yeah.
Basically.
Yeah.
So, and yeah, we looked at the site. It's right off of an off ramp, highway off ramp. So there's some site distance concerns with the DOT. The footprint, the property footprint itself can support that from what we can tell though.
Other questions?
And so when it was delayed, it was just budgetary. When 2016, the dusting off of the plan, we're running out of cash. All things cash.
Yep.
Thank you, Pete.
Dan, monthly operation report.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Dan Rodefeld, operations manager. I'm just going to touch on a few items here and then feel free to ask me a question anytime. I'll just highlight the year-end totals for some of these, the things that we perform out in the field. Number of hydrant inspections we completed were over 3,800. I'd like to see that number a little higher. Our goal is to inspect and perform maintenance on every hydrant every 2 years. That I will attribute to some of our hydrant inspectors were involved in some cross training, and one was promoted to a cross connection inspector. And we've just recently filled that position. Hoping next year we'll have that number up a little bit higher. The other thing I'll highlight is the unidirectional flushing, and they're split into unidirectional flushing runs. We break our system into basically flushing runs, and unidirectional means that for a particular flushing run, we isolate that run by closing valves and the water will flow from only one direction. And what that does is increases the velocity of the water in the pipes to scour any minerals that build up in the bottom of the water mains, and we're able to clean the mains more efficiently with less water. We were able to complete over 100% of our system was flushed in 2024, which is excellent. 626 miles of that were done unidirectionally, and over 300 miles was done conventionally. So great job done by our flushing crews, and as well as our mapping section, who lays all this out on a weekly basis, and these three or four crews go in different directions throughout the city, and they communicate with customers when they'll be in these areas. So it's really an effort, and they did a great job. So just want to highlight that. Moving down, I'll just point out on valves, we were able to perform almost 10,000 inspections on valves. And what that means is the valves are exercised and inspected to make sure they're functioning properly. And if they're not, they're either repaired or replaced. So again, we have over 16,000 system valves. So that's quite an accomplishment to get through that many. Our goal would be every 4 to 5 years to make sure every valve has been exercised. So you can see that with the flushing and with, you know, just general maintenance of the system, we're able to inspect quite a few valves. So that's great. The other thing I'll just point out, we had main leaks 203 by the end of 2024. That's about average. Some years we've had well over 300. So, and some years we've had less than that. So that's about 200 is about average. And then down below under pavement repairs, this just shows how many open work orders were created in 2024, how many pavement repairs we made, we went back and repaired. And that's the same with terrace. Anytime we work in a terrace and a road right away, we know that we've opened them and then obviously closed them once they've been dirted and seeded. Anybody have any questions?
Dan, yes. A news report indicated the lack of snow can sometimes lead to more main breaks. Now, what's the current status of things as far as breaks in the last?
Well, yesterday we had, I believe we had six yesterday, and we had, I believe it was four today by the time I got here. When we don't have snow cover, the frost can go down deeper into the ground. It doesn't actually usually, you know, get to the main depth, but what that does is the ground can shift, frost heaves, and puts pressure down on the main. There's a lot of variables what causes main leaks, but that is a big one. Obviously, we have a lot of leaks in the winter because of frost. It can depend on the material type in the main when it was made after World War II. It was spun cast, which is kind of a more fragile cast iron, and we have a lot of leaks on that. So there's a lot of variables, like I say, but snow cover helps with the frost depth. The deeper the snow, the less we get frost going down in the ground. But I think I asked last week, and we were about just short of 3 feet, you know, frost depth. So generally speaking, we bury our mains at 6 feet. So
other questions for Dan?
I do. So maybe I'm just reading it wrong. So why would the closed work orders be much larger than the open?
For the terrace?
Yes.
Yeah, we may have caught up a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
We can only repair, we do terrace repairs and hot patch. It's a seasonal kind of thing.
Yeah.
So we may have caught up with something from the prior year.
Okay.
That was done late in the year. And you know what I'm saying? So yeah. The numbers are never going to jive. It's not like we did 400, you know, open 400 street opening permits and closed 400. Some things are carried over, like hot patching or pavement, you know, paving a road. Every road has a rank. Every street has a rating. And the water utility is allowed by city engineering to only do streets that are rated 7 and below. It's a 1 through 10 rating. Anything above 7, we actually send to city engineering. They schedule that repair and it's done by the city's contractor, because it usually involves they repair the patch and then they do a 50-foot wide overlay where they mill and overlay it. So because they want that, it's almost like a brand new road. So they want to make sure it blended in as smoothly as possible. So there's a lot of things involved there.
Thank
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
Third questions. Okay. Thank you, Dan.
Thank you.
Marcus, public information report.
Hello, everyone. Hello. Welcome to the new board members, and yeah, good to have you on board, pun intended. I'm Marcus Pearson, Public Information Officer. So this board report is actually highlighting some things that happened in December. So Jody, our community outreach specialist and our board secretary, is always good at finding cool ways to humanize and kind of bring a face to the utility's operations, which we really love. To see them out and really highlight them out in the, doing their work on a daily basis out in the field and things like that in the office and around. Really, like I said, just humanizing some of our operations we do here, which a lot of people don't know about. So this year, she actually did a 12 days of the season, which was a holiday themed social media campaign for the first 12 days of the season in December. So it showcased staff from various departments in a fun, educational, informative way. So I hope you guys had got a chance to look at it. She did a great job really getting staff from a variety of different areas of the utility to really bring the full breadth of what we do here and bring faces to that. So the five sections, for those of you that don't know, we have finance and operations, engineering, water resources now, and then public information and outreach. So with the finance department, which also includes billing, customer service, meet in the meter shop, she was able to get some people from the customer service representatives, meter readers, and other staff. And then from operations, the dispatcher, flushers, field staff, on crews, and maintenance staff, and for emergency and grounds care. And then water resources, operators and water quality testers, and engineering, some of the engineers, mappers, GIS coordinators, construction inspectors, and then of course herself and myself as the communications department or public information and outreach. You can see here that really did a great job capturing, a variety of different activities and in ways that really, things that really make us the utility and make us unique in some of our staff. But other than that, just an outstanding effort on Jody's part, really getting out there. And all of this was posted on social media. So on Facebook, Twitter/X and Instagram. So, I think we have 14,000-15,000 followers between our social media. So really got some good exposure to really show some of the faces of the utility. So I thought this was really cool. It's the first time in my 3.5 years that I've seen something like this, or you know, a project that we've done like this. So really appreciate Jody's efforts really getting out there, and especially to get this in every single day to get a post out there was incredible. And I know that the mayor's office and others picked it up and really enjoyed looking at this, including a lot of our staff. Other than that, I'll let Jody say a few words if she wanted to.
I just want to thank you. This was my first year with the water utility, so it's been fun getting to know everyone. And, you know, education was really the focus this year for me, and expanding our educational opportunities. So we had nursing students from Edgewood come out recently. That was really neat. Coming up, we have a program with MATC we're going to be doing, their plumbing apprenticeship program. They want to look at cross connection. So that's something we're really excited about. Looking forward to really expanding more of what we do year round. We have the water wagon, which some of you may be aware of, that goes out to a lot of our public events, but we're looking forward to doing more education outreach internally in schools, direct approach into the classroom. That's something I'm working on expanding. So I'm really excited about that and involving more of our staff in that. Sarah Johns came from the public library. She's in our meter shop. So Sarah and I have gone out to Kennedy Heights recently. We did a program there with students. So we're brainstorming how we can get students to work on meters and take apart meters and put them back together. That hands-on approach, I think, is really not only something for the brain, but also getting to think about careers. So that's something we're really looking forward to this year. So stay tuned. If you have any ideas for programs we could do, places we can go, I send out the emails to the board, so you have my email. So thank you again.
And I guess on that point of Sarah Johns, she has been nominated as our Woman in Construction Week nominee from the utility. So all the public works departments, they will nominate a woman in the construction field to really highlight to the rest of the city and our city department. So Sarah Johns from the meter shop has been nominated. So look out for that story as well. And with the water wagon, for you new board members, you are required to at least attend one water wagon. So, you know, I'll be waiting to check it off to see who shows up. Pat always shows up, and we love to see him there. So the rest of you, see you there. Deb, I think he has a there. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Oh. Where, too? So yeah, it kind of felt like I had.
Yeah.
They're blue. They're very lovely.
Yes.
Yeah.
I have one.
Because it's work. I mean, you'll be put to work. You might get some questions, you know. Especially if you're at an event that's in your district. So. Other than that, do you guys have any questions?
One other thing that I think has been helpful is for new board members that wish to do a tour of the wells. That's been something that Water Utility has been doing. And as we move maybe into future meetings, we can bring that up as possible.
Can I? So we have a 3-hour tour, so Kurt and Alder, if you're open to the notion, I'll have my staffer, Doug, who conducts these 3-hour lovely tour. So have you done that?
I didn't do the 3-hour tour, but I did
you,
all 15, so
all right,
like, and I have a lot of questions, and I feel like I...
So the two of you, I will connect with Doug, if you're open.
Same thing. I was at
19.
Okay, you're
so.
Done.
Yeah, I haven't seen a well, so I'm gonna go on a 3-hour tour.
So if that's the case, I haven't come. I mean, it's fun.
Yeah,
it's not just a
yeah.
Well.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Not just at a well. You,
yeah.
You, do,
you get a
no, no, the whole just
it,
all.
Yeah,
of,
yeah, the whole.
Yeah,
you're
good.
Good. But it's a. All right. Thank you. And also one other question. Now you know why this place runs well, because of those five and their team. I do nothing. I don't have to do anything. That's how it should be. So thank you.
Can I just say one thing, though, that
yes.
We're not plugging, and I miss it, but one of the other Alders had a lunch and learn with GM Kumar, and it was packed. I understand there was like 60 or 70 people that came. I missed it because I was at another meeting, but
I know you guys kind of get bored sometimes and you're like, okay, we're going to go over the same question, but it also allows us to tell the public. Like, I had no idea that there's two people that sit up in that room 24 hours a day that watch everything that happens with our water. And I was just talking about it today in an interview. So
yeah,
it makes a difference.
Yeah, definitely. And if you look at actually the eighth day of the season, it says 8 days, 8 monitors or something that she said, which was really clever because there's 8 monitors that they look at and we have someone up there 24/7. So that was pretty cool.
That
sure.
Marcus, one item that appeared in the paper related to increase in the percent of salt in some of the wells. And I know you cited road salt, but I'm thinking also of the private providers to businesses. And I think most of us, if we visit any of the major parking lots, we can see just the sheen of salt that's there. And I'd be curious as to whether or not any studies have been done as far as cities like Madison and the percent of salt that is generated either by road salt or by private vendors.
Yeah, so I do believe City Streets does monitor that, and they do try to come up with some estimates for that. I think Charlie actually mentioned, and I think he got tagged in the article, and he basically said, you know, we're the most visible people out there, you know, as streets with the, you know, the trucks and stuff, but there, you know, there are people that, you know, residents that are also contributing to it. There are people that, you know, are maintenance folks that are contractors for all these different surface lots and things like that. So it's not all on the plows and things like that, but it is something that we are definitely aware of. And actually right now, this week, it is Winter Salt Week, or I call it Winter Salt Awareness Week. So if you go to our website, you'll see here, this is actually a link to Wisconsin Saltwise, which is one of our really prominent partners. And they can tell you about, you know, all the information that you might want to know about, you know, salt pollution, things like that. And then also ways that you can actually reduce your salt use as an actual resident. So we have 280,000 people all reducing their salt use. That can really help us. And there are some wells that we have that are, I think, well 14, and our water resources manager, Joe, can speak, you know, better to this. But I think well 14 that has actually exceeded the EPA guidelines. And then we have a couple other wells like well 6 that, it's getting really close to those thresholds. You know, you'll notice that they're all, you know, I think both, two of them are university, one's on Mineral Point. So you notice that the most traveled roads are the ones that kind of are the most vulnerable to salt pollution, but definitely something that Jody's been posting this week. We have a social media campaign going on. We got other stuff throughout the city working with streets and other partners to really get this information out there for sure.
Thank you. If we could have a motion to approve the 5 reports that were just given. Motion.
I'll move approval.
Okay.
I'll second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay.
And on our agenda, there was reference to a possible closed session. And Krishna, we have to move that to next month.
Because of schedule conflict for the attorney, so we'll bring it back.
Okay. We are moving to the end of the meeting, and we have our regular meeting evaluation. And Alder Latimer Burris, I think you are the person that's going to be doing it this month.
Okay, so great. Wonderful. Okay, all members actively participate in discussions, and all members have an opportunity to voice their opinions, positions on the agenda topics. I think that was fully met. Members come prepared to engage in discussion by reviewing materials prior to the meeting. I think that was fully met. Members engage in active listening and avoid interrupting others' speakers. That was fully met. Members offer honest opinions and respect the viewpoints expressed by other members. That was fully met. Members honor our Water Utility Board procedures and policies as outlined in the Water Utility Policy Book. Yes, fully met. And members represent the collective interest of current and future residents of Madison. See if that was fully met. And then members make decisions based on equity principles, considering the decision's impact on all residents. The decision-making process considers who benefits, who is burdened, who does not have a voice at the table, and how policymakers mitigate unintended consequences. And that's what we did.
Thank you. Well, with that, I think we are at a point where we can entertain a motion to adjourn. Is there a motion?
Okay.
Second?
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Apologize for the temperature in here tonight. It was over 80 when we got in here, so I turned it down, and I apparently turned it down a little too far, so I really apologize. We'll work on that next time so we don't freeze you all out.